Let's be real. One of the greatest fears that wealth creators have, but nobody is talking about, is what if I raise my kids to be entitled jerks? You're not alone. I've had this same fear too. But what if this fear is actually a doorway to something more powerful? In this episode, I am going to break down for you how to not raise entitled kids and leverage your wealth as a tool to build perspective, to demonstrate empathy, and to show them how it can be a tool of impact and change in the world. Join me next. Welcome to Managing Tech Millions, the podcast for tech professionals navigating the journey from high earners to confident wealth managers. Struggling with equity compensation decisions? Are you curious about turning your portfolio into a thriving, scalable business? You're in the right place. Master your millions, own your legacy. Join us each week as we uncover strategies, share actionable insights, and help you take charge as CEO of your financial future. Hello and welcome to Managing Tech Millions. I'm your host, Christopher Nelson. Welcome to this episode where we're going to be diving into this difficult topic of entitlement. It's important that everybody who's listening understands, and I've shared this before, but if you're just listening in for the first time, I didn't come from money. I came from a lower middle class background growing up in rural Northern California in farming country. My mom was a school teacher, public school teacher. She did a little bit of private work, but mostly public school teacher. And then my dad was in agricultural construction. And not coming from money and then coming into wealth, my greatest fear was that we're going to be raising these entitled brats. These kids that were running around demanding everything. I want the latest iPad. Why can't you buy me this $4,000 bed set? You know, just demanding things and wanting things, but not having the experiences that we had. Upon meeting my wife, who is the child of immigrants, who her parents had to work very hard to provide for her family, and they instilled that work ethic in my wife, Regine. Again, she shared the same thing. So as we were sitting down as our sons, you know, we started thinking about this as they started turning 6, 7, 8, and they get to the stage where they're asking for more things. And we wanted to be very responsible with the way that we raised them and also very intentional. What we realized is that this fuel, this fear, is actually a signal that says, okay, I need to do something about it. What is a fear? A fear is a false expectation appearing real, meaning that the cement was still dry on our kids, right? It wasn't set yet. So there was an opportunity to make a change, to move forward. And I think that having that moment of realization that you are clear where you came from, and you're also clear on the purpose that you have for your money. Now let's pause there for a second, because maybe that's the question that you haven't answered. Are you clear right now on what is the purpose for your money? So for us, one of the things is I talk about the three C's that can be used for your money. Your money can be used for contribution, your money can be used for creation, or your money can be used for consumption. Those are really the three C's that really encompass how your money can be used. And I think for us, what we had been focused on for our kids is we want our money, the legacy that we leave behind, and even how we leverage it today is we want to try and minimize our consumption. How do we minimize that footprint, and how do we maximize contribution? And that contribution could be buying investments for the family that continues to contribute and grow the family wealth, or it can also be contributions to society. How do we make things better? And then creativity, how do we disrupt things? How do we make things, again, better? Or how do we invent things? And some of those things can be for pleasure or entertainment, but they can also be for, you know, creating businesses, creating jobs, and creating opportunities for people. So we were very clear that we wanted our money to be focused on contribution and creation. And we also wanted to minimize the consumption. That really gave us a lens of, when we wanted to eliminate entitlement, we wanted to have conversations with our kids up front to say, you know, this is not the purpose of our money. If you're coming to me and saying, I want a new iPad because I am your son, well, that is something that we're not choosing to do that with our money, because that's not a contribution. That's not creation. It's consumption. And again, I know there's a lot of gray area around that. Like, do our kids have iPads? Yes. And we try to leverage those as tools that they can create with and build with and grow with, and not just sit there in the corner and consume. So those are key things to understand. But beyond what was happening in our house, we wanted to do something that was more tangible, that was more visceral for our children, because many times in this fight against entitlement, we can be having conversations about money and demonstrating things to our kids, but we still live in this very amazing bubble that is, you know, the United States, that is a tech-centered world or different tech hubs. We made sure that this fear that we had of entitlement was a call to leadership, that we wanted to lead our families and we wanted to direct them in a different direction. We knew that we wanted to focus our wealth on contribution, creation, and we wanted to talk about the fact that it's not, our wealth is not for raw consumption. Our wealth is not there to just be a pure benefit for somebody to consume off of. So with that in mind, we, in 2023, I was provided an opportunity by a friend of mine named James Harrington. And if you go back in the podcast, James Harrington, who is the chief executive officer of the Ugandan Water Project, he's a friend of mine. We were in a marketing mastermind together and became friends. And he put an invite to come with him with a group of adults to go to Uganda to learn about water poverty. I took that invitation to my wife, and it was at that moment we had this epiphany with our sons being, you know, 9 and 10 years old. We made the decision that it was time to expose them to a different world, a different reality. And that was to take them to Uganda, to teach them about water poverty, and to also show them what it means to contribute to a cause, right? Sometimes it's easy, and James shared with us this book, you know, was it Giving Without, I can't remember the title. Oh, Helping Without Hurting was the name of the title, where it really talks about the fact that when you go on service trips, that the goal is to become educated on what are some of the problems, to actually engage and get to know the local people, create friendships, and then also contribute to some of the solutions. Not thinking that we're going to be some sort of savior or we're, you know, overtaking something, but we're essentially trying to contribute to a solution. So we chose this trip in November of 2023 to pull our boys out of school and to go have this experience in the middle of Africa. It was also an exciting time for the family because my wife and I, being well-traveled, had been to, except for Antarctica, had been to most of the other continents, and this was the continent that none of us had ever been to. So as a family, we had the opportunity to plant the flag and say, we're all going to Africa together for the first time. So we chose this trip because we knew that it was going to get all of us uncomfortable, expose us to a completely different environment, to learn about water poverty, which is, you know, something that is prevalent in a large part of the world today, is access to clean water. And it was going to open the eyes of our boys and create change in them. So we went on this 12-day trip where there was the opportunity to go and meet other students. We did a rainwater recapture project that was in the middle of a school, and the boys had a chance to meet students that were their age. In Uganda, the language of Uganda, the national language, is English. So there was the opportunity for the boys to converse with other kids. And they could also then see us create and build the solution to the water problem that they have. The boys had the opportunity to go fetch water, meaning that they filled up these 5-gallon jerry cans that they walked around a quarter of a mile downhill on the way there, filled up these cans uphill on the way back with these other students. And these students going to a private school would lose roughly 3 hours a day because they would have to fetch water 3 times a day. So what was the result? What do we get out of this? Well, one of the things is that these boys created friends there, people that they could relate to, play with, and they could empathize for their situation. They were sad. I interviewed some of my sons. Some of them said, I was sad for my friends. Other, you know, one of my sons poignantly said, like, he was angry. He was angry the fact that they could not have the solution that we had. You know, he's very, you know, angry in the sense that, you know, he wanted to fight. He wanted to do something about it, which was very endearing. And the interesting thing is that now, post that trip, all of the boys wanted to contribute more for impact, whether it was raising funds for the Ugandan Water Project or whether it was the opportunity to return to Uganda to be able to help again. So on this trip, there was the opportunity to learn about the solutions that Ugandan Water Project provided, but there was also the opportunity to tour and understand who were the people that they wanted to serve next. And there was a very poignant afternoon where we went on a trip with the UWP leadership team. So the Ugandans who are leading this company in Uganda took us to a few different sites to see if they would be sites that they would invest in, right? They would take contributions from donors and they would go to solve their water problems. Because sometimes, you know, like any other business, you want to try and understand what is the ability to be successful. And we went to a school where the boys were playing in the afternoon. They were meeting friends. They had, you know, some nice time to really create some bonds with these boys. We evaluated the situation. And when we got onto the van, you know, James Harrington turned to us and he said, you know, these people are on the list, but they're far down on the list. I don't know if we're going to be able to help these people like within the next year, whether we're going to be able to solve their water problem. And it was at that moment that I turned, you know, to my boys and I saw one of them, you know, getting misty, another one that was crying because they had seen in the other school the solution. They saw the joy that it brought. They understood the challenge of fetching the water. And now they realize like that help may not come here, or it may be a long time in the waiting. And that struck them emotionally. It created this very empathetic moment. And it was for me at this moment that I realized like this is the purpose for the trip, right? Is to really help the boys understand that there is the ability to create an impact with charitable giving, with responsible organizations, and actually by going out and doing some of the work yourself, right? You can create impact. Or you can create impact by being a donor. Ultimately, as a group, we came back with the adults. And later on that night, we decided to pass the hat and actually fund the project for that specific school because we wanted to solve that problem, which, you know, was again another opportunity to show and demonstrate to the boys that there's opportunities to contribute together to have people come and solve some of these real world problems. So the reality is that wealth should allow you to do more, right? The goal of wealth for us and our family is how can it not just serve our family, but how can it actually create impact in the world? And how do we bring our children along for this mission to demonstrate that for them and show it to them? This is so important. And I think for you, right, as you're sitting here reflecting right now, I wanted to share that very personal story to let you understand that somebody who is a wealth creator, who goes out there, you work very hard, you're grinding in tech to build the wealth, you have this fear for your children. There are different ways that you can go and interact with the world, regardless of where you've come from. There's opportunities like this, trips that are there for you to go and create this kind of impact so that you can show your children that as a wealth builder, as a wealth creator, you want to reward this contribution. You want to help other type of charitable organizations. And there's also ways that your children can participate and make an impact. Let's talk a little bit about lessons and legacy. I've created this four-part framework so that you can really start thinking through what are the different types of opportunities and what are the experiences that you can give your kids to fight entitlement. Because the reality is, you know, going on a service trip to Uganda and Africa is incredibly powerful, but there's more ways to do this. There's ways that you can actually do this from home that you know, and I want to give you some ideas on how you can do that. And then there's also ways that you can leverage your wealth and you can actually take a trip where you're helping out a nonprofit, but also creating impact for your family. So let's break it down right now. What are sort of these four steps that I have, this four-part framework of lessons and legacy? So number one is it's so important to teach a global perspective. We do live in a bubble. We're blessed. We have a world of abundance. When you walk into our supermarkets and you see how much food that we have available, it's literally overwhelming. It's so important that we have the opportunity to teach and expose our kids to what is the struggle in other parts of the world, exposing them to extreme poverty where people are even struggling for food. One of the things that I did early on is, you know, is we would have these entitled moments with my kids and they'd be wanting X, Y, or Z. I would go and leverage YouTube and I would go and preview some videos of, you know, having, there's some very powerful videos there. I'll try and find some and link them in the show notes of where you hear other kids in other parts of the world talking about poverty and how it affects them and how it makes them feel. That is so important for kids to be able to see other children that are like them, that they're able to relate to and hear about their different experience. This reminds me of a very powerful quote from my last guest, Ron Diamond, on the previous episode 100, that I think, you know, this is why I give my kids a global perspective. Ron said, "I used to think that happy people were grateful. I realized that grateful people are happy." That all of a sudden I realized this is why I do this. I give my kids a global perspective to see what they have so that they become grateful. Grateful people are happy. We know this now. It's scientifically proven that people who have gratitude, who do gratitude journaling, are generally going to be happier. And when you think about all the discontent, all the depression that people are struggling with nowadays, plenty of it can be attuned to the fact that they're just not grateful for the things that they do have. So giving my kids a global perspective, you know, inviting them to see beyond their comfort zone, that's a big thing for our family. We say that Nelsons do hard things. We want to wire it in their programming that they want to be comfortable getting uncomfortable, because that's where growth is. I also believe the converse, which is comfort is a slow death, right? Is that there's going to be no growth if you're surrounded by comfort all the time. And there's no better way to get outside of your comfort zone than to embrace a global perspective. It's also a wonderful way to explore the world's rich tapestry. We just literally got back from our second service trip a couple weeks ago from the Dominican Republic. And there, while the boys were serving in a local school during the day, hosting a spelling bee, painting a mural on the wall, you know, my wife and I and another couple were actually pouring concrete floors for another family. In the evening, we would come back to the house that we were staying in, and the boys would be playing stickball in the street with the neighbors. We'd be eating delicious local food, playing dominoes, dancing bachata. We were in a community who was appreciative of us, leaning in, contributing, and we got to enjoy this great cross-cultural moment that you can't have anywhere else. It was absolutely beautiful. But that would not have been possible if we wouldn't have embraced the global perspective and embraced getting uncomfortable in this. Number two, very important. You want to model philanthropy as impact investing. So as a portfolio CEO, you're running your micro family office. You're an investor. Well, I no longer think of philanthropy as charitable giving. what I think of it as impact investing. How am I investing in companies that are creating exponential impact in the world? That's so important when I think about the next generation, my sons managing my wealth. I want them to be able to see this as impact into making positive change in the world, you know, contributing to impact that, you know, is more than just the dollars. And part of that has to do with showing up. You know, one of the things I know that James Harrington of the UWP talks about is that it's so powerful when donors show up in Uganda to be a face for who we are in the United States, working, contributing to this change in a different country, to be able to receive the thanks, to be able to go in and have our kids play with their kids. Like, it creates like a real physical bond. And if you can transform this act of giving into also an investment lesson, meaning that I want my boys, I want myself to be looking for organizations that I want to give to charitably that are truly managing my investment very well. I don't just want to dump my dollars into some large organization and I don't know where it goes, but go follow it through, see the impact, think like an investor. Because the reality is I think of the impact is how of the dollars that I provide, how many lives are touched, how many lives are changed. And I think in this modern era of, you know, data and analytics and the way that I've seen a lot of nonprofits performing, there is a real way to do that. And showing your kids this value chain of where all of your hard work and your decision to, you know, invest for impact and then going and seeing the result of it, that's where all of a sudden the light comes on. And they realize that money is just not this tool for consumption. Money is this tool to create impact. And I'll tell you, when they see it, they want to give more. After going and participating in the Ugandan Water Project and then in the latest project we just participated in, my boys are more interested in giving than ever before because they've seen the smiles on the faces. They've seen the physical reward of what the work of great organizations can do to create impact. And that's infectious. And that's more infectious than going and buying, you know, the latest set of Pokemon cards, right? That's going to, they know it's just going to give them joy for a moment, but being able to reflect on the fact that they're changing somebody's lives, that becomes infectious. That's very powerful. So model philanthropy is impact investing. Then third is encouraging problem solving. There are a lot of problems in the world, let's face it. And I know as wealth creators, you know, as micro family office managers, as we're looking around, you know, and we see a lot of turmoil in the market, turmoil in the world, we realize there's big problems that need to be solved. There's big problems that are going to impact the next generation, whether it's climate, whether it's plastics, whether it's energy, big hairy problems. Well, when you show them how these impact investing companies, right? How the Ugandan Water Project is literally setting up what could equate to a utility company in Uganda to create water, not just to go install a well and walk away, but to install a well, to partner with the community that then supports its parent company to come, or sorry, its partner company to come along and service that well, to keep it in service. And then thinking about upgrades so they can bring taps to homes. Right? When you partner with innovative companies and you see how they're solving these problems, not just for today, but for tomorrow and then for forever, that then gives children hope. It gives them a vision of how the world leveraging dollars in contribution can actually create a greater impact beyond them and encourages them to partner with other companies, to leverage technology, to really go after and solve these problems. And then more than anything, I'd say number four is it reinforces the intention behind wealth, right? The why in your wealth is the anchor, right? When money is just there and without like any type of focus, it can drift into ego. It can drift into I need. But when you give it a purpose and you have a laser focus for your family that where a portion of our dollars is going to contribution to these particular impact investment companies, and we want to go see the impact and we want to be a part of this, we want to do physical work, you know, or mental work, we want to help move its mission forward, that's where then all of a sudden you create this cycle of legacy. And so teach global perspectives is number one. Model philanthropy is impact investing. Number two, encourage problem solving, and then reinforce the intention behind your wealth. These are these four principles that if you enact those and you focus those at things that are passionate to you, that are related to you and your family, what you're going to unlock there is you're going to unlock a lot of empathy. You're going to unlock a vision and a mission on your wealth that is going to leave entitlement, leave consumption behind. And it's going to change your kids' lives. So ultimately, your task as a money manager, I talk about this, right? You want to talk about this in the architect phase of your wealth when you're thinking of what you want your wealth to do for you, but you're also thinking about what you want it to do for the next generation. And you'll find that a lot of ultra high net worth individuals, a lot of families that you know are participating in charitable giving, involved in philanthropy, are doing this not just for themselves, not just because it's a great tax benefit, because they also know how it is going to impact the next generation and give them a vision that's beyond just raw consumption, but it's going to allow them to see that this wealth is a tool to impact greater change in the world that they need to be a part of. It's a call to action. Make it personal. That's exactly why we did this, is we wanted to go down there. We wanted them to know Alphonse and Marvin and Lido and different people that they know by name. They have photos with, you know, some of them they're, you know, friends with on, you know, on the iPads, and they're able to communicate with them, and they have some different conversations so that they're creating this connective tissue across the globe. All of this, if you execute these, I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk about what are some of the hidden benefits that you don't expect. You know, when we went and did this, you know, you'll find that, you know, get to know me on this podcast. And for those of you who listen, who know myself and my wife, we look before we leap with a lot of things and challenges with our family, whether it's physical challenges or whether it's sometimes taking on new tasks or different things. You know, when we saw this opportunity to go to Uganda, we were compelled to go because we knew that there was going to be some change that came out of it. So with these transformational family experiences, one of the most beautiful things that it creates, that for you as a father, as a mother, as a guardian, as somebody who is overseeing raising children, it creates these shared experience family moments that become etched in your memory. And sometimes it's crazy things that happen in the travel, like, oh, hey, you know, we had this one son who, you know, at one moment, like totally got sick on the airplane and people had to dive in and help. And, you know, you remember these random moments, but you also remember the very beautiful moments of when, you know, hey, we were, you know, playing with these kids and they said, you know, hey, thank you for coming all this way and helping us. We didn't believe that you would ever come. Or we didn't know that we'd ever see anybody like you, you know, or I can't wait to go back and I want to be a part of helping again. And I want to go see my friend again. These shared family experiences are so important as a family so that you can have this imprint of something that is truly and uniquely special, because it's not that you're, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with my family and I, we're not, you know, and my wife told me this the other day, is she heard me talking about these trips. Like, hey, we don't want people to think like we're different. Like we take vacations, like we go and we relax and we unplug and we, you know, go to Europe and we do, you know, things that we relax and enjoy ourselves. So we're not trying to say that we're better than anybody else, but this is part of our ethos, because we realize as people that have come into wealth that didn't have it, that we want to make sure and show our children, leveraging our wealth, how they can then also be the stewards of this impact, how this is something that, and we're very intentional. We want to pass on this baton, this work that we're doing with the Ugandan Water Project. We want you to continue this work. If anything ever happens to us, we want you to still continue to contribute and to participate in this organization. Those are the types of things that we do. Because the thing to me, like the hidden benefits are, then you have empathy. I remember that we were notified by one of our teachers in school after the boys had gone to Uganda, when she was sharing some type of a lesson with the kids. I can't remember the specific details, but what came out of it is she was trying to explain to the kids that yes, there are homes and places where people do not have water or toilets inside of their homes. And the kids were honestly in disbelief. But at that moment, my son raised his hand and he said, "Hold on a second, guys. I've been there. I've seen that. And what she's saying is true." You know, and I can bring you some of the photos and help you get your heads around this. But the teacher relayed to us that it was a very powerful moment for her and for the kids, because it wasn't this big disconnect of, oh, a teacher saying this and we don't know it's real. When one of their peers raised their hands and said, "I'm a witness," all of a sudden that changed everybody's perspective to like, oh, okay, like that's true. And I think for myself, you know, having my son being able to realize that context, realize that it was important to share that, is really important for us in sort of our family values, that we want to also be, you know, champions of the global perspective, help people understand how to think globally and act locally. And when you're thinking about fighting entitlement, you know, in today's day and age can look like, you know, kids feeling like they deserve the latest electronics, whether it's buying things, not understanding the value of money, demanding things. When you get them outside of their day-to-day, and when all of a sudden they see a simple side of life, right? When we were just in the Dominican Republic and, you know, rarely any child had a device out there, and the kids were out there literally playing what we used to play in the street, stick ball, where you'd literally have a stick, you'd have a ball made of tape, and you were, you know, creating little bases out of, you know, jugs or whatever there was. These boys start realizing like, we don't need all this stuff to be happy. Like, we can go and play and be kids. And when you're unplugging them from those moments, right, then all of a sudden we're witnessing that, you know, take off, and there's just a resurgence and a reminder of the kids of what life, you know, it truly is. Ultimately, we want to be able to show our kids like, hey, we have this abundance of wealth. And I think what it means to us is it means stewardship, being responsible, that we want to continue to invest and manage our micro family office so that we can provide for the family for multiple generations. But it does align with our values, that is rewarding contribution, whether that's contribution to the family or contribution to the community, whether that's local or global, that's to be rewarded. Same with creativity, right? If you're wanting to create a business that's going to solve problems, that is going to you know, help disrupt an industry, you know, solve or move things forward, that's so important. But we want to make sure that there's clarity that this isn't for raw consumption. Like, that is off the table. And that's not something that we're writing to in our estate plan and will, that we're going to be rewarding that. And so one of the, again, the benefits of this is just the fact that we are helping build the character of our children by giving them these global experiences. And ultimately, the return on investment was the connection, was the fact that now, and we're making our plans as we're trying to now plan and be very intentional about our travel, we're looking to go back to Uganda this October, and then we're going to go back to the Dominican Republic the following March, because we want to create relationships. And I think, you know, I got this from my friend Maurice Philogene, who talks about not going, you can go broad in the world and you can go explore different places, but don't forget to go deep. Don't forget to pick some places to create deep relationships. Because one of the things I think that's going to be able to defeat and eradicate entitlement in my family is when they have friends of different economic statuses, of different experiences, of different countries, that are their true friends that they can relate to, that they realize that they can be sources of impact in their lives. That's ultimately what we're looking for. And I think I want to just sort of wrap it up with this. And I know this was a pretty emotionally intense episode, and I think it should be, right? When we're reflecting on this, and this is one of the reasons I think that people don't talk about a lot, the fact, okay, I don't want to raise my kids entitled, is that, yeah, like you're going to some emotional depths of fears. But the reality is that the solution can bring you more joy and more fun than maybe you ever thought. I mean, when I remember, you know, just recently, fresh memories of, you know, dancing bachata, you know, being out there with my family late at night, you know, in a nice warm evening in the Dominican Republic, music playing, neighbors, everybody smiling, have a good time. Like it after a hard day of work where we literally helped this community and they were just all having fun together. That was an amazing moment. And it can be difficult, but let me tell you, what is the ROI? What's the return on the investment of doing this? It's the connection. It's the creating real relationship and global community that's across the globe, that's different than you are. But I know right now, whether it's Uganda or whether it's Dominican Republic, having just been there once, I know people that I built relationships with that I showed up on their front doorstep. They'd be like, come on in the house, brother. Where's the family? Come on in. And I feel the same way about them, right? And that's the true ROI, is creating these deeper relationships, creating this relational fabric across the planet. Because that's the bigger vision for me, is like, if I can leave my sons with a legacy of this relational fabric across the planet, then that's where we as wealth managers, you know, of our family wealth, is we realize that the benefit of this wealth is not something to be ashamed of. It's actually something that we need to focus and use to create impact. Because like anything else, with, you know, this responsibility, you know, you have to focus it and you have to make sure that you're intentional with it so that you're moving towards the result that you want. Okay, I know that was an intense episode. Here we are. If you want to know more, I've also written an article. If you go to managingtechmillions.com on Substack, you'll find an article that I wrote that was posted a couple weeks ago that you can go find out. And then I'll link that in the show notes of this particular episode. Any questions that you have, if you are on the email list, just hit reply. I'm happy to answer those questions. But my encouragement to you is, continue to get educated on how to manage your wealth, but also continue to get educated on how you're going to leave the imprint for the next generation. And whatever it is, don't be afraid to ask the hard questions, because that's what we do on Managing Tech Millions every week. And I'll see you next week.